everyone. Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Dialectical Behavioral Therapy class series. A trained therapist and secular member of Overeaters Anonymous will teach us new DBT skills every week that can help manage emotions, which can often trigger overeating. To find out more about secular overeaters, visit the website, secularovereaters.org. Now let's begin today's class.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills class. My name is Susan P., and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I've been a CBT therapist for 36 years and a DBT therapist for over 10 years. I use DBT skills every day. I actually do, and I'm going to tell you how I used this skill that we're going to learn today yesterday. And I'm excited to teach other OA fellows what has been so helpful to me and my clients. This meeting is an ongoing class, although we're on class 6 of 8. Where we will focus on a different skill every week. And if you're listening to this as a recording, you can check the podcast show notes for links to the materials I'll be reviewing today. All right. Today, we're going to be talking about a skill called Dear Man, and that's an acronym, and we'll go over that. And it's about assertive communication, really effective assertive communication. But each week, we'll begin a class with a mindfulness exercise, and this one is called the Celeb Name Game. Right. There's a very particular purpose to this one. It is if you are having trouble getting out of your head, if there are thoughts in there that are upsetting to you or distressing to you and that may contribute to you wanting to eat, right? You can use this mindfulness exercise. It's best if you have a piece of paper, right? So that you can, because it's a writing thing you're going to write. If writing is hard for you, if you have sort of a voice recognition thing that you use often, that would be good too. If you can't do either of those things, you can just do it in your head. It's just a little less effective if you're just doing it in your head. And let me give you the instructions. It's just a game, but there's no competition here. You don't have to tell anybody how you did. Nobody wins. This is just for you. And the idea is that you're going to think of a celebrity. And the celebrity that I think of is my celebrity crush, who is Viggo Mortensen. I've liked him for a really long time. And so if I think of Viggo Mortensen, my next step is to come up with another celebrity whose first name begins with the first letter of his last name. So it'd be Viggo Mortensen, and then maybe Mandy Moore. And then I need an M again. So maybe Michael Douglas. I'm showing my age. I know that. And we're going to do this for 2 minutes, and you'll just see how many people that you can get. But remember, right? The purpose is not to win or to get the most or to judge yourself on how you're doing. The purpose is to get out of your head and to concentrate on something else. It's a one mindfulness exercise, which means let's practice being mindful of one thing at a time. And it helps us not be distracted by things going on in our head. Is everybody ready? Okay, everybody, that was 2 minutes. Take a nice deep breath and come back to us. Raise your hand if it helped you sort of get out of your head and pay attention to one task. Good, I'm glad. Good, good, I'm glad to hear it. So this one is a good one because it's just a little game you can play with yourself, just a little brain game to play yourself if you're feeling urges or if you're feeling pretty distressed. It'll bring you, it'll take you out of that. I like that one a lot. Okay, so here we go. Is anybody willing to take 1 to 2 minutes to share how you use the skill that we learned last week? Anybody use it? Find it helpful? Remember, it was opposite to emotion action. Okay, Karen?
I hope I've got this right, but I found that using the half smile was so massively helpful. It's like a complete game changer in my life. I use it in so many circumstances, but in a lot of times when I go shopping, I find people around me. I get agitated. I feel anxious. I feel afraid. So I just concentrated on having a half smile, and it just calmed me down and gave me sense of control and just calmness, and it was so helpful. So yeah,
I'm so glad to hear
amazing.
that. So happy to hear that. It is a magic little technique. If you weren't here last week, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling angry, but the feelings don't really fit the situation, right? You can do a little half smile. It's not a tense thing at all. It's not a gigantic thing. It's a little half smile that looks like this. And it does have an impact on the way you feel. And I was saying that I use it all the time on the subway here. It's just my sort of, that's how I approach the subway with a half smile. Okay. Well, great. I'm so glad about that, Karen. Thank you for telling us. All right, so today we are going to learn one of my favorite skills. I love them all, so I apologize if I say that about all of them. But that's because I picked, for the 8 weeks that we're meeting, I picked all my favorite skills. All right, so this is a skill. It's in the group of interpersonal effectiveness skills, skills to make you more effective with other people, with relationships. And this one is about assertive communication. And it's called Dear Man. It's an acronym, and we'll go through that. But I just want to define assertiveness if anybody has not done any assertiveness training or read about it. Assertiveness means that you're communicating in a way which allows you to get your needs met while not sort of trampling on the needs of other people. So if your communication is aggressive, you're only concerned with getting your needs met, but not worrying so much about the other person. If you're more on the passive side, you're not worrying about getting your needs met. You're worrying about what the other person wants or thinks. Assertive communication is for both of you. And I think that's why it's effective. What you need matters, but what other people need matters too. And so, Dear Man is a way of engaging in assertive communication, right? And so I'm going to show you a video. There is a wonderful therapist. I looked up her name and promptly forgot it, right? But there, it's from a website called Now Matters Now. And it's a great website. And this psychologist is on there, and she does some amazing videos. And she's going to talk to us about Dear Man.
Let's talk about Dear Man. Dear Man is a group of strategies that allow you to ask for something or say no in a really effective manner. These can help you by setting you up for success. What a lot of people do is, as they're learning this strategy or this skill, what they'll do is they'll write it out. There's an acronym called Dear Man. They'll write out each step of the skill before they go into an important conversation. If you are wanting to say no and that's not your forte, if you're wanting to say no and you really struggle to say no, maybe you say yes all the time, you really want to learn how to use these skills. If you think that you're asking clearly, but yet you're still not getting what you want, then this group of skills, then this acronym can be really useful for you to improve the strength of the way that you ask for things or the way that you say no. Well, what does it stand for? Dear man. D stands for describe. E, express. A is for assert. R means reinforce. The man part is how you go about having the conversation. So the dear is what you do, and the man is how you go about doing it. The acronym MAN is how you go about doing that. And for man, that means do so mindfully, meaning that you're not distracted. You don't get distracted by attacks on your character. You stick to what it is that you're asking for or saying no to. You become almost like a broken record if you need to. Sometimes when we're having an intense conversation, lots of other things will naturally arise, like, well, that's not what you said before, or, well, then how come you didn't do that in this situation? And that's only natural that other people will bring those things up. But as part of the M, what you're doing is you're sticking to your guns. You're sticking to what it is that you brought up in the first place. So that's
the M.
We'll go back to the dear in just a minute. The A, again, this is how you go about asking for what you want or saying no. The A is to act confident. So you may not feel confident at all, but chances are more likely that you will get what you want if you act confident. And acting confident is your voice tone, it's your posture, so it's your shoulders up, shoulders back, sitting up straight. The opposite of acting confident would be like your toes together, your head down to the side, kind of mumbly. So for the A in man, that's acting confident. And then the N is negotiate, so giving to get. If ultimately the person that you're asking things from or saying no to isn't willing to budge, then this is a time to negotiate so that it's not all or nothing. That if you can't get what you want, maybe you can get something. And one good way to negotiate is to turn the tables. So if you find yourself really stuck in a conversation, not getting what you want, it often works out well if you'll say to the other person, if you were in my situation, what would you do in this situation? I'm curious about what you think I should do. So there's something about turning the tables that really can break up a conversation that is stuck. So that's how you go about asking for things or saying no in this very strategic manner that we're talking about, in this dear man. So going back up to the dear, that again is describing what you want, expressing how you feel, so that's the E. Asserting, which is where you ask or say no directly. And then reinforce is telling someone why they should do something. So giving them a reason why, reinforcing why it is that you want to do something like that.
So I'm hoping everybody saw and heard that. Okay, good, good. So let me tell you about a dear man I used yesterday. I work in a group practice and we have a new intake coordinator. Why is this tricky? It's tricky because the new intake coordinator is taking over for someone who was not great and had some feelings about some staff members, not me. And so I needed to be diplomatic as I gave some negative feedback to the new intake coordinator. And what happened is that I have two times set aside in my schedule when I can do consultation calls for people who are interested in coming, but they're not sure that they want to. And so they can get a 15-minute call to see if that works for them. And I have them scheduled at very particular times. This is probably too much information, but it sort of makes sense in that I don't schedule them right after a session. You know, like I see my clients on the hour, but it's a 45-minute session. And that little 15 minutes in between sessions gives me the ability to give them a little extra time if they need it. So I'm not stressed out about being late for the next one. And also to write up my notes, right? So I have these two times at the end of my day I'm not stressed by anything having to come after. And the new intake coordinator scheduled one at the, you know, like on a day when I work until 8 o'clock, scheduled it at 8 o'clock. Seems like it might be okay, except that if I do an 8 o'clock phone call, I'm going to miss my bus right home. Okay. So I did a dear man. I said, You know what? I'm going to pull up the handouts so that you can follow along with me as I go through the steps. This is just some funny. So if you download them, you can look at them ahead of time. But here we go. All right. So I describe the situation. And the important thing about describing the situation is that you use the facts only, right, in your describe, because you don't want to dispute the facts, and you don't want to say you don't want to say what their intent was, or say mean things to them. It's just describe the situation. What actually happened? And so my idea is you scheduled a consult call for me at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Okay, so there's my describe. The E is express my feelings and opinions about this. And this is not a difficult one, right? I have to let you know this is an easy one for me, right? There's no emotions involved here other than being sort of diplomatic. My E is that's really hard for me because if I take that call, I'm going to miss my bus. And so then the A of the deer is assert, right? That is, it's, or when I teach this clients, I say, ask for what you want. Right. And in this case, I'm going to say, so would you mind rescheduling this? And I'll give you some times. But also, next time, if you feel like you have to schedule a consult call at a time that I don't usually schedule them, just check with me first. Confirm with me first to make sure that I can do that. And then the R of reinforce is, you know, when I teach it, I say it's give a good reason, right? Both for me and for the other person. And so the good reason here is that way I won't need you to reschedule something. Like it'll just save time if we only schedule something at a time that I can do it. Let's talk about the man, the how, because that's important, right? So there's my idea, right? Just describe the situation, say how I feel about, ask for what I want, and then say what, you know, give a really good reason why that's important to me. Okay. And so then we talk about the how, the man. And the man is, the M is be mindful of your goals. Don't get sidetracked by defensiveness or attacks, because to be perfectly honest, in the real world, right, it doesn't go so smoothly, or almost never, only on TV. Like you give some feedback to somebody and they say, you're right. I am so sorry. From now on, I will do it just the way that you say. No, that doesn't happen, right? I think it's sort of natural for people to get defensive and defend themselves. And why didn't you tell me? And all those sorts of things. So you're ready for it. That's okay. Expect it. And be mindful of your goals means that you acknowledge what they say. Yep, I understand what you're saying. And then you use something called the broken record technique. You go right back to what you were asking for. You don't get sidetracked by it. So if this person were to say, well, I didn't know, like, and you have to have a person anyway. And I would say, yep, yeah, no, I could see why you would think that. But from now on, I really need you to check with me first before scheduling. Yeah, but what if the person can't do any of those times? Well, that's okay. We'll find something else. But I need you to check with me before you schedule. I love the broken record technique. It is genius because you sort of just acknowledge what the person said and then go back. I used this in the store recently. Somebody wanted me to take out a credit card because then I'd get 10% off. I'm not taking out a credit card for your store because I won't pay it because I'll forget, and then it's going to cost me even more. So I'm not taking out your credit card, right? And so I said, oh, no, thank you. And the person came back at me again. Oh, but you'll lose 10%. Oh, no, thank you. And then she tried again. No, thank you, right? You don't have to engage. You don't have to argue, right? You just come back to your point. That was a person I didn't care about. But if somebody you care about, yeah, no, I get it. But I'd still like you to let me know first, right? The broken record technique is brilliant. Now, there was a time in my life when I was sort of nervous about confrontation, right? What am I going to say? And I know what to do. And the broken record technique, once I learned it, saved me because I don't have to know how to answer what they say. I just have to stick to my guns. And you're polite and you're pleasant. So that's fine, right? So there's your M. Be mindful of your goals. Don't get sidetracked by attacks. But also importantly, expect defensiveness from people. It's just going to happen, and that's okay. The A is appear confident. And that doesn't mean be confident, it means appear confident. Act like you're confident. Anybody remember the power poses? I don't remember the person on the internet talking about power poses, but how important it is to like look like you're powerful, right? So that's what this is. Just act. Act confident, even if you're not. Stand up straight, make eye contact, don't look down. Right? And the N is be prepared to negotiate, because just because we want it doesn't mean that it's going to work for the other person. And so then how can we negotiate? Right? And so what I could have said to the person was, and don't ever schedule anything other than at those two times that I've set aside. But no, right? I'm prepared. Just check with me first. And that way you'll have the opportunity. So there's Dear Man. I love Dear Man. It is amazing. It's best used if you can't anticipate a difficult conversation. It's really good to write out a script. And in the handouts, there's even a page for you to practice writing out a script. You can write it down ahead of time. The other beautiful thing about it is it's a little bit of work when you first learn it. But after a while, you just do it automatically. I use it all the time. Here's how I used it the other day with my husband, Mario. That's my husband's name. I noticed that the garbage pail is really, really full. So, do you think that going forward, and oh, I forgot the express, right? And I'm really nervous that we might get ants or that the dogs will knock it over and it'll go all over the place. So, do you think that you could take it out at the end of every night? If you did, right, that'd be great. We wouldn't have to worry about the dogs knocking it over, and it would make me so happy. And I'm a lucky woman because the R of it would make me so happy, right, is important to my husband, which is lovely, right? And so you just come up with it. So your first try, it might take you a little while, and that's okay, right? But after a while, you just do Dear Man automatically. It's so effective. Because I forgot, her name is Ursula Whitehouse. She talks about turning the tables. If you can't find a way to negotiate, I love this turning it back on them. Like, what do you suggest? You know, like if the things that I'm suggesting don't work, what do you think might work? What work for you in order to have this happen? So the turning the tables and then in the end stage is a good one. Okay, so let's practice, right? Everybody, come up with something you'd like to ask someone else. Or if you'd like to say no, right? Because sometimes that takes assertiveness too. And practice all the steps, and then we'll come back and hear about it. All right, good. Hi, everybody. I would love to hear how that went. Did you run into any challenges? What was that like? Anybody volunteer? Okay, Tom.
It was great. It was really good and so clear to just put the steps in place without being wobbly. And I love the front cover of your handout this week because it's just so messy, isn't it? And it's really easy to kind of have this convoluted conversation. Nobody has any idea what I'm asking for. And the nice, easy steps. Loved it. Thank you.
I'm so glad that it worked well. And it's true. It does really, you know, if you're so nervous about it and you don't know what to say and you're pussyfooting around, it's really a nice way to give a very clear message. So I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you. Vicky.
I was just going to say that my partner and I, we had a good, I think, because she had a work thing and we both really got a lot out of the broken record technique because she has to negotiate with a colleague and I have to negotiate with my super to get a new air conditioner. So my partner was recommending that I just keep repeating the specific fact of my problem because he's gonna stonewall me.
Thank you, Vicky. Great. Okay. Carla.
I first couldn't think of anything, but then I thought about I have a great deal of trouble in public and really don't like to go out in public that much. I have a hard time with people being disrespectful, rude, things not being fair. So I gave an example of some different events in my area that I live in and trying to deal with people who are loud around you and not paying attention. And usually I kind of huff and puff and explode. So this will give me something that I can focus on before I go, like, okay, I know I'm going to this event, you know, such and such is going to happen because people are peopling. And so I think this can prepare me a little better from instead of going from 0 to 3,000 one time. So Yeah, this will be a new thing definitely for me to try, other than just sitting there and trying to control myself with no idea how I'm going to do that.
Right. Good, good, good luck. I
Thank
want to
you.
hear about how it goes if you use it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Marissa?
So I had a was really helpful to work with my partner as well. I just wanted to bring up a kind of an insight that I had while I was doing the exercise, was that I sometimes think I sometimes in my mind when I would like something to be different, think I put a lot on the emotional part of it. So, for example, I'll tell them that it's, I'll tell them that it's affecting me and then they will change it, right? But that's not always the case. Like you mentioned in the case of your husband, he cares about whether you're happy or not, right? But sometimes for people, it's they want to make the sale or they want to get you off their back as soon as possible or they're simply, in a bad place themselves just to be more compassionate about it. And so I feel like with the technique, what I was able to keep in mind is put the request first. Like put the request first and, the feelings, like hopefully they care about you to change it, but the main thing is to make the request and, whether they do it or not, may or may not have something to do with me, but the request remains important. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Like sometimes I just hope that people will change it because they care about me, right? But that's not always the case. You just gotta make the case. So that was actually very insightful. Thank you.
No, that's great. Also, in the R, when we give them a really good reason or what it says is reinforce is why should they do it? Right? One of the things you want to think about is what's in it for you, but also what's in it for them so that we can influence them if they don't actually care much for us, or if they don't have the ability to take our point of view. If we can give them a reason it's good for them, that's helpful too. So when I said to our intake coordinator, that way you won't have to take the time to reschedule, right? What's in it for her? And so that's why sometimes it makes sense to think about it a little bit ahead of time so that you can come up with these things. Well, why would it be a good idea for that person to give me what I'm asking for? Right? It's such a good point is that people don't always care about making us happy or pleasing us. Right? They're thinking more about things from their point of view. And so we might as well understand that and capitalize on that. Right? So great point. Thank you. Well, I am so happy to have taught you, Dear Man. I think it's such an incredibly useful skill, and I hope that you will go off and use it. This information is also available on the ESSO website.
Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a small donation.